glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, March 4th, 2026. And hi, this is Dave Fitch, Director of Development with Great News Media, filling in today for Mark Burns on Mark and Friends. Joining me today is Tom Cheshire, founder of Relevant Practical Ministry for Men here in Springfield, Illinois, and we'll be discussing the upcoming Iron Sharpens Iron Men's Conference that Tom puts on every year. Tom, let's start at a high level and tell us, what is Iron Sharpens Iron?
So Iron Sharpens Iron is a conference that Relevant Practical Ministry has done, and this year will be our 20th anniversary of hosting this conference. So Iron Sharpens Iron is a men's equipping conference, is how we title it. And we title it that way because, like the old days of Promise Keepers, where you went and you really just received kind of motivational and exhortive preaching to masses, we encompass that element, but really the thing that we're best known for is that we do equipping seminars. And this year we're doing 9 equipping seminars in the morning and 9 different ones in the afternoon. And so there is where the real heart of the conference comes from, is that it is been the vision of it since its inception to be an equipping conference where we bring men in from local churches in group, hopefully, to be equipped in the various equipping seminars. They're able to take those equipping seminars actually back to their church. We record them on a flash drive, and all the seminar presenters provide their handout for what they're teaching on in that breakout session, in that seminar. So you can get all those and literally take back all the training and the keynote messages as well on a flash drive. You've got the conference on a flash drive that you can take back and share with the men that didn't
come.
Yeah,
that's a great benefit to be able to refer back to a message.
Sure.
Any time after that. So the term equipping means that you're equipping these men to what?
To be godly men in some form or fashion, right? Like, the equipping seminars are a wide variety. We do purity, we do finance, we do what does it mean to be a godly husband, what does it mean to be a godly father. With our demographic, we do typically one at every conference on grandfathering, how to be a godly grandfather, and what does that season of life look like. So marriage, spiritual warfare, I mean, the equipping is as wide as the spectrum can be, but it's always generally things that men are needing help in, right? Like, to be, I'm 71 years old, but For 30 plus years, I've been trying to help men understand, what does it mean to be a godly man? What does the Bible say about that? And how do we apply that to our daily lives? So the conference is just that. It's trying to help men be godly men.
Yeah, for me, that's the biggest problem I have with the conference, is there's so many good speakers, so many great different, I would call them breakout sessions,
sure,
but the equipping talks that you have, I want to go to all of them. They all sound so interesting. And one thing that I like about it is, beforehand, you have each of those speakers come up and give a brief little overview of what they're going to talk about. So it gives you, those who attend, gives them an idea of which ones they want to attend. And I always come away with like about 15 of them, right, I want to attend. I don't have the time for all of them. So that's a nice problem to have, though, that you have so many good relevant topics that touch the hearts of men's lives.
Yeah. Sexuality is one that obviously been on the front burner for a while now in our society. And so we have a young man who comes and does one on, you know, how do you kind of deal with the reality of someone you know struggling with sexual identity from a biblical perspective, right? Not like
not
placating
the earthly
them, not, you know, encouraging them, but to help them understand the biblical perspective of it. So that's one of the seminars that's at the conference this year.
Yeah, so in addition to all those breakouts or equipping sessions that you have, you also have a couple main speakers that everybody listens to. Tell us a little bit about the ones that you have lined up for this year.
Sure. So this year we have Rufus Smith, who is a pastor from Memphis, Tennessee. Rufus is keynoted for us at all the other conferences that we've done over the course of the years, but he's never been to Springfield. So ask him to come as part of the 20th year celebration, just because he's a solid biblical guy, and he'll bring a great exhortive message as the morning keynote. In the afternoon, then we have another pastor, which is unusual. And all of our marketing says we're supposed to have Kenny Luck, but unfortunately, Kenny Luck had to cancel. And so I had to get somebody else to fill that slot. And it's not like we went down a notch. We went up a notch, if anything. And we have a pastor named Brian Hurlbut out of Utah. And he's associated with the Better Man Ministry. If our listeners happen to know anything about that, that's Robert Lewis's third iteration, if men's fraternity, if you will, is the Better Man. And Brian is one of the speakers and guys that goes out and speaks for Better Man. So I've heard him. The message he's going to bring is going to be phenomenal. He'll be the one that closes the men and sends us out with a great challenge.
Yeah, that's guaranteed to be a great session, and I look forward to that. It starts off with one of these main speakers, and then you have the...
Starts off with worship.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
that's where it begins.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And that, you know, one of the where I was just recently, that someone was commenting on that, you know, and that, again, if you hadn't been to Promise Keepers, you hadn't seen 10,000 or 20,000 or 80,000, depending on what venue mm-hmm. you were at, of men singing. So if you haven't experienced that, then ours is a very distant but close second.
Yes.
To where you have 800 to 1,000 men singing. If you don't get goosebumps and the sense of the Holy Spirit, there's something wrong with you, I think.
Absolutely. There is just something unique about getting hundreds of Christian men together, or men who are seeking a closer relationship with God, getting them together and all worshiping the Almighty God together. It's just hard to describe that feeling. And, that is something I look forward to every year, too.
Yeah. So it starts with worship, then we lead in, then the morning keynote, and then we give a ministry award mm-hmm. Away to someone that we've recognized as having an outstanding men's ministry in their church. And then keynote and the seminar guys, we bring them, like you said earlier, they all come up on stage in front of all the guys, have 45 seconds to a minute to basically convince you why you should go to their seminar.
Yeah, and as I said, they're very convincing, because there's always a lot of good topics that I want to hear. And then at lunch, you provide lunch as part of this, right?
Yeah, well, you can buy the optional Chick-fil-A lunch. It's a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich, chips, and cooked.
It's always good, and amazingly, for hundreds of those, they're always hot.
Yeah.
By the time they're served. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, we've got a great mm-hmm. team of guys that serve in all aspects of putting the conference on, but the food guys are on their game for sure. We serve 800 guys in probably 30 minutes or less.
And then after lunch, then what comes next?
So midday, we have a short midday session, a little more worship. I get up and talk a little bit about the ministry, introduce some of my admin and the assistant director and the team, if you will, bring my mm-hmm. wife up on stage, who's obviously a very important part of the ministry, has always been a very important part of the ministry because she loves me and supports me. But then we do an offering. We take a short break, and then they go the afternoon, and we bring the afternoon seminar presenters up. Mm-hmm. And they get to say their 45-second to a minute spiel. Mm-hmm. And then we take a short break and then go into the afternoon seminars. After that, short break, back in for the last main session, which is basically the keynote. And we do a bunch of giveaways. We give Cub Cardinal tickets away. This year, we're giving away a really, really nice Benchmade knife.
Nice.
We give resources. I've got a really nice study Bible I'm giving away. Just different things that we give away at the end of the day. We have a goal to end at 455.
And you do. We're usually pretty close every year. Yeah. You mentioned earlier about the Promise Keepers conferences. I remember those from years ago. They were awesome. when Coach McCartney would fill stadiums with 50, 60, 80,000 men. Yep. You know, this is the closest thing that we have to that in the Central Illinois area. So I would encourage men from all over Central Illinois to seriously take a look at attending this year. What are the dates and the times for this year?
So St. Louis, I don't know if we go far enough south to, that anybody would be closer to St. Louis than Springfield, but St. Louis is coming up this Saturday, March 7th. So it's right on our heels. And then March 21st is the Springfield Conference.
Okay.
And they can go to www.rpmfm.org and click on the conference page. And
it's rpmfm.org. Okay. Yeah. So if somebody wants to attend but they can't attend Springfield 1, then they might as well run down to St. Louis. There's a lot of people down in the Carville area that listen, and sure. Root House and other areas that can easily get down to St. Louis.
Well, sometimes so, timing, right? Like the other things are, even if you live in Springfield, it's not that far to St. Louis. So
right, yeah.
There's people. We have churches that do both, and it's kind of, you know, one year they'll come to Springfield, one year they'll, and a lot of it's the date. They've got other things on their calendar or whatever, and so they switch between the two.
And the date again for the March, for the Springfield one is?
March 21st.
March 21st, okay. And it starts at what time should
doors open at 7:30. The conference actually starts at 8:30.
Okay.
So you get there, get your wristbands, get some coffee. Mm-hmm. We provide plentiful snacks for breakfast, donuts and fruit and just different things, orange juice, that sort of stuff, and then have a little fellowship, and then the sanctuary doors open at 8:15, and then the worship starts at 8:30, and off we go.
And I know you always encourage men to come with other men and
sure.
or groups of men from their church. That's ideal. If you don't know anyone who's going, definitely ask around and talk it up, but I know you have some churches that bring like dozens and dozens of guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, 40s.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of guys that come there just in groups of, you know, five or six from their own church. So definitely talk it up to the guys in your church. Encourage them. This is a great opportunity to get a bunch of guys together to come to a conference that is just for men. Experience the worship together that we talked about of, you know, hundreds of guys all worshiping God together. And then hear some great speakers just talking about topics that are very relevant to men's lives today. I always feel very enlightened, my eyes open, I think, every year after I go through that tough choice of picking which of the many speakers that I want to listen to. There's always some that are just very interesting that at that point in my life, I want to hear somebody on that particular topic. So many great topics and great speakers that there's always many that I want to hear. And I always come away from the conference feeling that I've learned a lot and, you know, something inside me has been filled that I needed to have filled. And it is fun to do that. Even if somebody does come just by themselves, it's a great opportunity to meet a bunch of guys. I meet new people every year. You also have some other ministries.
Exhibitors.
Like ourselves that will set up tables and you can learn about some of the other ministries, some of the other speakers and their ministries. I always find that fascinating. It's just a great all-round educational seminar, I think.
Yeah. Well, the vision and mission of RPM is to be a resource to the local church. And this is a one-day smorgasbord of resourcing the local church. Because not only, like you just said, do we bring the seminar guys and teachers in, but we have a lot of standalone exhibitors that are coming just to share their ministry or a mission or whatever it is that their ministry is with the guys that would come there. So you're exposed to a lot of things that you can take back to your church. You're exposed to a lot of things that you can grow from individually, but you're also exposed to a lot of good resources and ministries. A lot of these guys will end up coming and being your speaker at your men's breakfast or your men's retreat or whatever. So, I mean, there's just it's a win-win-win for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's a win for the speakers because they're getting in front of men that they probably wouldn't have gotten in front of. It's a win for the men because they're hearing speakers that they probably wouldn't have heard if they hadn't come to the conference. And it's a win for the ministry because we feel like we're accomplishing our mission of being a resource to the local church.
Yeah, you mentioned that it's not only for the individual men, but for the churches too. Throughout the year, when you're not putting on the iron sharpens iron, you help a lot of of churches in building their men's discipleship up. Tell us a little bit about what you do there.
Yeah, so I always tell people, you know, we love putting on the conference, and like I just said, it's a smorgasbord of resourcing, which is our mission, if you will. But my heart has always been to be a resource to the local church in the area of men's discipleship. And so what we do the rest of the year is we meet with churches, whether it's pastors and a leadership team, whether it's a men's ministry leader, again, depending on the size of the church and the structure of the church. It can be one or two guys, or it can be half a dozen or more. We meet with them, have a little bit of a brainstorming session, and then enter into like a coaching relationship with them to help just kind of strategize. Because one of the things that a lot of churches, especially when it comes to the area of men's ministry, they don't have a lot of strong strategy of how they're either connecting with their men and or growing their men. And so we come in with both experience, if you will, of 20 years of doing this to help churches understand, one, here's some things that you can do differently. Here's some things you can do new. Here's some things you can do. Here's some things that maybe you need to stop doing that's wasting a lot of time and not really producing a lot of fruit, sort of thing. So we just come in and coach.
You are very familiar with what works and what doesn't for a wide variety of other churches. So you could save churches a lot of time bringing in that expertise and coaching them on how to have an effective men's ministry. So when you do that, when you come in and help them build a good, strong, discipling men's ministry, what effect do you see that have on the church?
Oh, it's phenomenal, right? I mean, the things that, you know, were plaguing the pastors in that church, where they're getting inundated with wives coming in saying their husbands are not loving them, not leading, you know, the whatever. Once you start to invest in men, it's a game changer. It's hard work. I'll say that. It's not easy. Men are not necessarily easy to connect with. They're not easy. They're stubborn, you know, and I'm speaking just to myself. So, you know, but it is. It's hard work, but it's very fruitful work. And you don't see any movement of God in Scripture that doesn't include men. So if you want a movement of God in your church, you need godly men.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Every strong church that I've seen that is strong and growing, it's because they have a good group of men. Any church can get a group of women, and I've seen churches that are almost all women, but the ones that are strong are the ones that have men and women who are strong in their faith and in their leadership. Those, you always see that in the strong churches.
Yes. Yep. So I think, you know, just the, it seems like, you know, now that we've kind of moved out of the COVID era, that churches are kind of really starting to refocus and retool, if you will, in the area of men's ministry in their churches. So we're encouraged by that. And if we can serve you or your church in any way in that area, give us a call. We'd love to connect with you.
Yeah, I would encourage all of our listeners to think about whether or not your church has a strong men's ministry, not just something that's busy doing a lot of things, but actually discipling the men, growing them in their faith and their understanding of the Lord. And if you're not confident that you have a good discipling men's ministry in your church, then reach out to Tom. Find him at Relevant Practical Ministries for Men, or rpmfm.org, and it'll tell on there all about their ministry and what he does. Go ahead and give Tom a call. His number is on the rpmfm.org website, as well as the Iron Sharpens Iron website, I think. Yeah, just give Tom a call and get him together with your church leadership to have a conversation. Let him lay out what other churches have done and explain the impact that it's had on those churches, and at least line up a conversation for Tom with your church leadership, and then you can decide from there, you know, where you want to go. Guys, on a bigger scale then, let's talk about just men in general in the American culture and the struggles that men are having now. It seems like there are a lot of attacks on men. There's read a lot of articles about men who just don't really understand what a real man looks like, what the definition of a real man is today. I'm sure you're seeing those struggles throughout a wide variety of churches.
I think, again, I feel like I don't know that we've turned a major corner, but I feel like we've turned a little corner in this to where it's the pendulum, if you will. If you use a pendulum analogy, the pendulum is swinging a little bit back more to center on masculinity, because the feminist movement has obviously had an impact, not only society, but in churches. And so where you have that, it's harmful, quite honestly. And it relegates men to, we suffer from passivity from, you've got a Bible in front of you, from the very beginning in Genesis.
Absolutely.
That is man's chief hiccup, if you will, in the very beginning, is that he passively allowed his wife to do something that God had forbid. And so we don't need any help being passive. So when we're pushed to the sideline, we unfortunately willingly sit. And that's, I think we're seeing that now. Men are getting up off the sidelines, re-engaging, realizing there is a healthy, strong understanding of what it means to be a godly, a biblical man, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus is our perfect model in all things, and he is the perfect model in what it means to be a godly man, right? And so he's a servant leader. He's strong, but gentle, right? John Piper uses the term velvet steel, right? Like strong like steel, but soft mm-hmm. like velvet, right? Like that's the quality that Jesus exudes. And that's the quality that men are trying to emulate looking at Scripture. And so I think the general state, yeah, I think it's still got a lot of long way to go. But all in all, I would say in words that we use now, it's trending upward.
That's good news. That's good news. I understand exactly what you're saying there. I feel like I did not have to give up any masculinity to become a Christian. I actually became a more masculine man once I understood who I was created by and how important it is to have a relationship with him and follow his plan for me. Well, I wish we could go on for a long time, Tom, but we're at the end of our time. Mark and Friends is heard at 7:32 a.m. or 7:32 p.m. Central Time. And if you missed a portion of this program, want to hear it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening and thanks for being part of our family. For Great News Media, I'm Dave Fitch, along with Tom Cheshire. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.